Listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM, and you're just listening to Always Remember by Drumming Now. Now, we're very happy to be joined today by Michaela Penangres, who is an NTU member and casualised academic at the University of Sydney. And the University of Sydney has actually been having a very long campaign against the management at the University of Sydney. So we have Michaela here to talk about the campaign, especially since there's been a lot of strike action taken by the NTU. So, yeah, good morning, Michaela.
Good morning, Jacob. Thanks for having me on the show today.
So to start off, Michaela, I guess, what can you tell us, I guess, a bit of the political background? And yeah, feel free to give also a bit of a story about, you know, some of the kind of developments that have also happened. Because the background, I guess, in terms of this dispute with the University of Sydney management, it's been described as one of the largest strike campaigns during enterprise bargaining in NTU history. And I think it's gone on for more than 21 months. In fact, I even remember hearing about some strike actions related to these negotiations from last year.
Yeah, that's right. It is become quite historic. So we have been in enterprise bargaining for 21 months. So in enterprise bargaining, that's when we're trying to, the NTU and the Sydney Uni NTU branch is trying to get a fair, just deal with management in terms of pay and working conditions. So that's what it's all about. Unfortunately, management doesn't want to give us some basic conditions, and that's why the protest has dragged on for 21 months. So management's been intransigent in its bargaining. It's hired a very expensive lawyer from Melbourne, from the Clayton Woods firm, to do its bargaining on behalf of them. And we've been fighting pretty hard. We've had 9 days so far of strike action, which is historic. And it's probably the longest running strike action and the longest running campaign by any NTEU branch in Australia.
And what can you tell us, I guess, a bit about some of the demands that the University of Sydney, that the NTU is demanding of kind of management?
Yeah, so we have many demands. So firstly, we're demanding that the university meets parity in terms of First Nations employment. So we want the university to commit to a target for First Nations employment parity. This is really important, as a lot of First Nations staff have said that it's an unsafe space culturally at the university, plus many of the staff who are there are on casual work. And at the same time, the university does not have a proper system in place to employ First Nations staff. So we want an enforceable target. Another really important demand is that we want an unconditional right for academic staff to have 40-40-20, which means basically 40% of their work can be research. The university wants to basically phase this out and put in a huge increase in education-focused roles, which basically limits the amount of research academics can do to basically none, which, as you can imagine, the university will really undermine the quality of research and teaching and any innovation. The other thing we're fighting really hard for is a real pay rise above inflation. What they've currently offered us is, in effect, a pay cut. And this is during a cost of living crisis. Rents are pretty astronomical here in Sydney. The other thing we're fighting for is protections for professional staff and those in our Centre for English Teaching for retaining their jobs and for internal hiring. So they're just some of the issues we're fighting for.
Yeah, Michaela, just on that last subject, can you tell us a little bit about ongoing casualisation of university staff and the kind of ongoing hoops that people have to jump through to get these ongoing little contracts that go for another 6 months or another year? It's like you're constantly chasing the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, so as Jacob mentioned, I'm a casual staff, so this is very close to my heart.
Hmm.
So basically when you're a casual employed at most universities in Australia, you don't get a proper contract as such. You get a casual schedule, which is a mini contract for the duration of the semester. And then before next semester starts, you have to basically apply for more work, and that can be very stressful. So basically there's no sense of security at all. It's totally precarious. Then there's a whole other set of staff who are on small fixed-term contracts, which are a year or 2 years, which also is extremely precarious. And basically at Sydney Uni, there's about 70% of us out of the whole staff that are in precarious, either casual or fixed-term contract work. And you can imagine what this does to people's sort of lives. Basically, you know, you can't save, you can't plan, you can't think about having children. I know many younger academics who want to have children have put that off because they're not in secure jobs. So one thing we've been finding really hard for is pay for casuals, pay for all hours work. Currently, casuals at Sydney Uni have experienced huge wage theft, as they have also at Melbourne Uni, which you probably know about being in Melbourne. Now, we have also been fighting really hard for sick pay for casuals, and we've finally got a commitment from our management to 5 days sick pay for casuals. It's not enough, but it's pretty groundbreaking in terms of the universities everywhere in Australia who have so far refused to get any casuals, any sick leave.
Mm. I imagine it must be a bit of a barrier to getting people involved in the EBA campaign as well, because people would be scared about kind of getting, you know, blacklisted or whatever. When you're on these recurring little 6 or 12 month contracts, you might not want to stick your neck out in case you don't get that next contract. Must be quite...
That's 100% true. And, you know, we have heard a number of stories of casual staff being pressured by their supervisors not to join the union because they're not going to... they've been told they will not get a job next semester. There's a lot of fear about that. However, there is a growing sense of solidarity amongst casual staff, and there's definitely a growing sense that, you know, we can fight this together.
Mm.
But definitely you're right that in terms of the precarity of the workforce, it's definitely a strategy to undermine any unionism and undermine workers' power. So that's why we've had to do a lot of organising work on the ground to try and get a sense of solidarity between casual staff and also between casual staff and permanent staff.
So that gets into the kind of next kind of question, actually. And what can you, Michaela, what can you guess tell us a bit about some of the actions that have taken place, including some of the strike, including the strike action? There was like 2 days of strike action that I'm pretty sure happened in the guess this past week. And I guess from your perspective as someone who's been active in this whole campaign, I mean, how has the kind of union kind of grown, how has the kind of union kind of grown throughout this process? Because, you know, for such a long kind of campaign, I'm sure there's been lots of meetings, lots of discussion, lots of debate, which is all kind of, you know, that can be quite a source of kind of excitement and a real, you know, can create a whole basis for politicisation for workers in that context, and especially draw in new people to the trade, to the union.
Yeah, and we've definitely had an increase in union membership during this campaign. There is a lot of feeling amongst staff that you know, things aren't okay at the US. There's a feeling of excitement and a bit of momentum in the campaign, which is great. And we have had new members. So as I mentioned, we recently had, on Wednesday this week, our ninth strike actions. We've already had 2 strike days this year and 6 strike days last year. So that's, a huge amount of work for organisers on campus. which I've been involved in very heavily. I do a lot of work with a group called Rank and File Action, which is we're an NPU group, but we are trying to basically get members active on the ground in their work areas, organising with each other and talking about their issues and joining the union and doing what they can to come on board with the union's campaign. So there is a feeling of growing solidarity, and there's definitely a sense that, you know, despite the length of the campaign, there's a sense of growing excitement, and that, you know, we might actually be able to gain some historic wins.
All right, and what can you give us, I guess, any kind of final comments to kind of, and especially, yeah, any final comments and, you know, how people can kind of like also give solidarity, solidarity to strikers, but to a University of Sydney, because I think there is actually quite a lot happening, and we might even have listeners from other universities, because I know that Deakin University is also going through through disputes. There's also going to be strike action happening at University of Melbourne. You know, maybe some comments on, like, you know, the significance of this fight, and how it could potentially lay the basis for, you know, stronger conditions at other universities and also potentially inspire other fight backs.
Yeah. So City University is sort of seen within the higher education sector as one of the leading sites because of our size and because of the wealth of our management. So what we win during our campaign for the university will have a flow-on effect to other universities. Now, the other significance is that there's been a global movement within higher education, within unions, especially in the UK and the US and now here in Australia, of saying, you know, enough is enough in terms of the conditions and the precarious nature of academic work. So that's also a factor. And then the other thing is that, you know, the university system, the way it's been run by neoliberal management in Australia, especially since the 80s and 90s, the whole system needs a massive overhaul. So it's critical that, you know, we show solidarity to each other, to other universities who are fighting similar struggles, that we change each other's tickets or at least give messages of solidarity because, you know, things do need to change for the better. For community members, you know, we have strike action. It's really great. We had members from other unions at our strike on Wednesday. We had community members on the picket lines as well, which was great. That's really another way people can support us. It's also really great on social media, and this is what I do personally. Like, I follow other campaigns in the country and globally and offer support. And so these are just some of the strategies of giving solidarity.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Michaela, for being on our program. And yes, all the solidarity with your with the dispute. And yeah, we look forward to actually, you know, seeing you push harder and actually, yeah, potentially winning. I think it would be a fantastic win for workers if the NTU are able to win their demands in this dispute.
100% agree. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show, Jacob.
Okay, nice. Thanks, Michaela.
All right. We're just speaking to Michaela, who's a casualised academic at the University of Sydney, about the kind of ongoing kind of strike action that has been happening at the University of Sydney. In fact, yeah, they've had, I think, at least 7 days of strike action, which is quite exciting. And in fact, just to give a bit of a plug, I mentioned it before, I think University of Melbourne is actually potentially beginning some strike action soon. I'll find the details of it actually for our program maybe next Friday, and potentially we might even have an interview about it. And I know Deakin University is also potentially in disputes right now. We've actually covered some of the dispute on our program before. And I guess probably just one sort of general point to make is it's quite fascinating, I think, that you know, during the whole COVID-19 pandemic, you know, you know, the government actually obviously did not give proper support to universities. And universities management actually used it as a kind of argument to kind of, you know, have more redundancies and, you know, make cutbacks. But actually, you know, I would actually have to admit, you know, when you look at, you know, we just interviewed an activist from the Sport Network for International Students, but one point that has to be pointed out, well, actually, we are going back. Universities are actually now going back into a bit of a period of normalcy. You know, there's now international students coming in great numbers. I mean, having just been at University of Melbourne, there's a large number of university students have started coming to university again. And, you know, you still have these university managements still crying poor and continuing to casualise the workforce and continuing to make cutbacks. And I just think it's quite outrageous in a lot of ways. Meanwhile, the vice chancellors make, you know, hundreds of thousands, and they also hold lots of assets that is actually worth millions. So I think this is, yeah, I think it's quite outrageous, the attacks that university management are putting against university workers, and especially in the context of the fact that, you know, things are, there is a sense of normalcy coming back to the university sector in terms of income.